And Tell Me, Will Love Be There? By Desdemon. Narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom, the Yin Yang Master. Pairing, Jingming, Boya. The priest on the roof is intolerable. Boya has met many of his kind before, soft hearts who imagine that because they feel pain and fear, demons must also feel pain and fear in the same way, and seek wrongheadedly to protect them. Weak-minded intellectuals who've never viscerally encountered the reasons why one might not want to extend kindness to every creature in the world. But the priest on the roof is not weak. He's Boya's match. Better, his traitorous mind wonders, assessing their skills as they clash, sword and fan. And yet, he deliberately wastes that strength protecting one who could not deserve it less. Not just deliberately, but flippantly, using magical tricks on Boya with a smile and dancing eyes, as though he expects Boya to laugh too. In a whirl of portals and frustration, Boya is deposited on an upturned eve, alone, panting, unbalanced. Just because you can't fight and you're not musical, there's no need to get insulting. Boya is musical. Boya is very musical. He is, in fact, publicly renowned for his flute playing, something the priest never bothered to find out before he. Intolerable. At least Boya will never see him again. He sees him 2 hours later. Unbelievably, the priest has somehow been invited to the palace alongside himself and the other masters for the heavenly worship ceremony. How did he manage it? Is he here through fraud? The priest has the gall to smile at him and question his qualifications instead. Are you here because of your pretty face? He asks innocently. Thus, after barely 2 minutes in the priest's presence, Boya forgets himself badly enough to unsheathe his sword in the middle of the imperial palace. Ah Longfashi, famous for her subtlety, recalls Boya to himself with a peace offering, a compliment to the genteel reputation that the priest seems so determined to make Boya disprove. He's the man in the dreams of all the young girls in the imperial city, she tells the priest, Jingming. Boya looks down modestly, but his awareness of Jingming to the right of him sharpens. Did he hear that? It is only him that finds Boya uncultured. Most people, girls anyway. He is mercifully interrupted from his own thoughts by the arrival of their host, He Shouye, and a suggestion that they all turn in, including disrespectful, demon-loving Jingming, who can't possibly deserve to be here. Boya takes his leave first, so that he can go put magic ears in Jingming's room. He puts them in Ah Longfashi's room, too, if only for the sake of plausible deniability, though his instincts are only pulling him in one direction. Hong Ruofashi is asleep, and while it is not boastful to call Boya one of the greatest warriors in the kingdom, he's not going to push his luck trying to plant anything in the ancient master's room while he's actually in there. So he returns to his own room to monitor the magic ears he already has. Inside, the atmosphere has shifted just a little, and Boya realizes that the other masters have been planting magic devices of their own. A quick search with his third eye reveals his tiny insect visitor and the location of Jingming's magic eye talismans. Upon discovering the talismans, Boya freezes, immediately awkward, even though he'd already known what he would find. He moves stiffly about his evening routine, trying somehow to act normally despite the knowledge that Jingming is probably going to spend the whole night watching him. And Ah Longfashi, probably. Not just him. Boya lies on his back in his bed like he always does, closing his eyes for the benefit of the talismans. He spends the night unmoving, listening to his magic ears, and to the sound of Ah Longfashi's insect spy skittering around his room. Infuriatingly, Qingming makes nothing but soft, normal noises all night. The rustle of clothing, a few clicks and taps that could be combs, a water bowl, the incense burner, the occasional rumble of a throat clearing. Eventually, thin, even breathing, surely meant to imitate sleep. A Longfashi also makes noises, probably, but Boya isn't really listening. In the morning, it is his great displeasure to be the one in the possession of evidence that Qingming didn't do anything suspicious last night, let alone murder Hongruofashi. Not only is Boya forced to admit in front of the princess and all the other masters that he was spying, but duty requires him to exonerate what is now revealed to be the half-breed child of a demon fox. He was right. His instincts were right. This is why Qingming has so disturbed his thoughts since they met. He knew there had to be a reason. Qingming catches up to him outside his door to thank him, of all the shameless things to do, and then, with the thickest face Boya has ever seen, to hand him back his magic ears and gently chide him for dishonesty. Boya slides the doors shut in his stupid half-fox face and tears his room apart, hunting for all the magic eyes. It is a large number, so that when he emerges, once more, cool and calm again, he can hand them back with the unruffled composure of a true gentleman. The effect is somewhat ruined by A Longfashi arriving to dump a pile of magic ears and eyes in front of them with a wordless sneer and turning on her heel. Though embarrassing for Qingming as well as for Boya, it still somehow feels like it's Qingming's fault. After breakfast, Boya suits up and emerges from his room feeling refreshed and ready to hunt demons in the name of the Empress. A feeling that sours instantly when he sees Qingming still taking his refreshment in the courtyard directly in front of Boya's doors, no less. Though he could have had tea anywhere. With his unpinned hair and long robes trailing, Qingming is the picture of refined relaxation, and Boya can hear the leather creaking in his gauntlets as his hands curl into helpless fists. "Good morning, Boya Darin," Qingming says easily, as Boya tries to glide past as though he hasn't noticed him there. "Care to join me for a drink?" Boya stops, his hands still in fists at his sides. "We have things to do," he says. "There's plenty of time," Qingming says, which is just not correct, and also disrespectful to both the Empress and the Princess who set them on this task. Boya would say more, but the atmosphere behind him twangs like a plucked string in warning, and several things happen very fast. Boya draws his sword and whirls around. The demon in his path makes the face they all make when they're about to die, scared and small, just how a person would look. Qingming is suddenly at his back, an arm snaking around his middle and pulling him away, holding him at arm's length with his fan. The demon throws itself into the air as a tiny butterfly and is gone.
"You have a demon as a spirit servant?" Boya repeats afterward, incredulous, just to make sure he's got that right. But it makes sense, doesn't it? Qingming is half a demon. What follows is intellectual sophistry of the kind Boya has heard before. Demons don't all eat human flesh. Humans eat animals, don't they? Who lives more honestly, point of fact? Crafty words for men who care more for theoretical ideas than the hard business of saving lives. Words Boya has always been able to dismiss out of hand, along with the would-be philosophers spouting them. But there is something about the way Qingming says honest, wry and heavy, something about the shape of Qingming's shrug when Boya suggests he go live with the demons if he loves them so much. Perhaps not his finest work, to be fair, that Boya cannot dismiss. Boya can't talk in circles around Qingming to explain his thinking on this issue. He can barely talk at all when he's angry, and right now he is very, very angry. He's not even sure what has him riled up so much. Which part? The arguments he's heard before, the low, reasonable tone he's hearing them in, or maybe the sad quirk of Qingming's smile. All Boya knows is that he's hearing what Qingming is saying and he doesn't want to be hearing it, and he doesn't know how to say that. All he can do is show him. Which is how he ends up drawing his sword in the Imperial Palace on the same man for the second day in a row. "I will not be mocked," he grits out before he leaves, and he is uncomfortably aware that that might be the only real point he was trying to convey. Boya throws himself into his mandated task. Much of his time is spent tracking down various demons in the Imperial City to determine if they are powerful enough to be worth the hunt. After a few false starts, Boya ends the day with the energy of not one but three demons in his box. He will only need 5 or 6 more to fully revive Black Tortoise, meaning his part of the task should be complete the day after next. Upon his return to the palace, Boya is thinking about finding a way to work a little faster, perhaps finish early and offer the others his help. He has not really registered the music or the tinkle of feminine laughter drifting across the darkened courtyard. This is the palace, and the nobility rarely go without entertainment. That is, until he hears, "Boya, Darren. Care to join me for a drink?" It's Qingming. He is bathed in warm golden light and the smiles of a truly unnecessary number of beautiful young female spirit servants. They are drinking wine. There's a Wei Qi board. Qingming raises his cup invitingly, as though he genuinely expects Boya to say yes. Boya grits his teeth. "You don't catch demons, yet you conjure so many..." Here, Boya is briefly overcome by a flurry of giggles rising from the spirit servants, like a startled flock of birds. "Female spirit servants," he finishes, addressing the doorframe, unable to even look at the scene anymore. "How indecent." "There's plenty of time," Qingming says, and turns back to his admirers. "You better hope there's plenty of time," Boya snaps, fully incapable now of saying anything useful, and leaves before he can get even angrier. That should be the worst part of it. Boya wishes that were the worst part of it. But as he leaves his room the next morning to begin the day's hunt, he once again hears laughter from the direction of Qingming's rooms. Male laughter. Unwillingly, he looks in the open doors as he passes by. It is the same scene from the night before, the adoring attendants, the Wei Qi board, the wine. Only this time, the spirit servants are all handsome young men. Fire explodes under Boya's skin. Qingming hasn't seen him yet. He should just keep walking. And yet, "How utterly indecent," he snaps, unable to help it, heart pounding. And when Qingming's surprised eyes meet his, he has to leave. He can't be there a second longer. He can't see Qingming like that, with those. He only catches 2 demons down in the city, a failure he attributes to the fact that the local spirits are starting to catch wind of their endeavor, not to the prickling, scattered restlessness he can't shake all day, no matter how hard he swings his sword. It is habit now to look into Qingming's room as he passes by. Boya is prepared for any imaginable debauchery, and indeed spent quite a bit of time during the night imagining, and then trying not to imagine, and then running drills in the flickering lamplight to empty his mind of anything resembling imagining what Qingming might get up to next. So when he finds Qingming actually working, his back to the courtyard as he studies an information map, Boya is too amazed not to wander up there. "When did you collect all these reports?" he asks, picking one up. They're organized, detailed, with places and times.
When you thought I was drinking and playing around? Qingming tells him mildly, but his gaze is pointed. Boya is chastened. He puts the report back on its hook, mentally rearranging his impressions of Qingming's behavior over the past 2 days. It is not how Boya would have done things, not in a million years, but he can see the results in front of him. Qingming tells him of his plan, luring one big demon to feed Blue Dragon, his particularly hungry guardian. Simpler than having to find and catch all those little ones, Qingming says, and his tone turns deeply sympathetic. So exhausting. Boya looks at him in astonishment, but he can't have misheard. Are you calling us stupid? That's right, Qingming says with knowing eyes, like he can sense Boya's rapidly darkening mood and is enjoying himself immensely. Boya isn't sure what he would have said in response, but the announcement of a demonic presence in the palace saves them both from having to witness it. Boya has had a hard day. He has watched his possessed and suffering childhood friend have a demon coaxed out of her unclothed back into Qingming's mouth. He has nearly given a demon its heart's desire while in Qingming's body, which would have cemented its hold on him and made exorcism an even longer and more painful ordeal. He has cut into Qingming's flesh and pulled a demon from his forehead and watched for excruciating seconds while he didn't breathe, and then did. He has restrained himself when, with still pale lips and clammy skin, Qingming had the face to make a joke about it at his expense. He has silently accepted it when, under the shadow of the Blue Dragon, Qingming suggests that there might be something deeply wrong with his childhood friend, giving voice to a niggling fear that Boya has had for a long, long time. Maybe that's why, when Qingming turns and asks Boya to have a drink with him, he finally says yes. Qingming's home is beautiful, peaceful. They're on the water, where everything is quiet, and yet sound is somehow amplified, the lapping of water against the building's foundations a constant gentle presence. Boya feels cowed by their surroundings, his recent angry outbursts wildly out of place amid the natural beauty of Qingming's private sanctuary. Boya, Qingming says, and Boya looks up almost guiltily. What is it about me being the son of a fox demon that upset you so? Boya has had a hard day. Boya is a little drunk, and Qingming is looking at him with steady, clear eyes, taking him as seriously as he's been taking things the entire time, while Boya thought the worst of him and said so. My mother was killed by a fox demon, he says, expecting to have to force it out, but it's strangely easy to say. He's been telling this story since he was a child, and it's always been a cold rock in his stomach, reminding him of the weight of his responsibilities. But as he tells it to Qingming now, instead of a weight, he's surprised and grateful to find that it is just a story. Qingming gifts him with a story of his own in return, about suffering at the hands of humans because of who his mother was, about being turned away by everyone except his Shifu. I was a monster in their eyes, Qingming says, soft and sad, and Boya jolts a little to recognize himself. That's what Boya thought, just days ago, yesterday, this morning. And then, Qingming shows him the worst moment of his life, and it flays Boya open completely. He can't find a single thing to say when they have returned from the memory of Qingming's Shifu's death. Qingming raises his cup, and Boya raises his in return for lack of any better ideas. He drinks deeply. Qingming's face is composed,
his comfortable, time-worn sadness a shocking contrast to the wild sobs that had racked him in the memory. Boya feels cracked down the middle. No one has ever trusted Boya this way. Boya would never trust anyone else this way, not with the quick of himself, the softest, most vulnerable part. Qingming just gave it to him, barely prompted. It is so incomprehensibly generous that Boya can hardly breathe. They finish the wine in silence, and when they have stacked the dishes for the servants and stood, Qingming leads him to the hallway, where he first opened the portal to bring them here. Shall we return to the Boya pushes him against the wall and kisses him. Qingming makes a muffled sound of surprise against his lips, and then his mouth softens and opens and his arms come up around Boya. It's not the wine that has Boya's head swimming, his hands fisted in Qingming's robes to keep him close, but also to hang on. Qingming buries a hand in Boya's hair, fingers cradling his skull, which is so good that Boya can't help moaning out loud, right there in the hallway. Boya, Qingming murmurs into his mouth, warm and rich as honey. We haven't even done anything yet. Boya would be more annoyed at the suppressed laughter in his voice if he weren't stuck on yet with its promise of more. Boya hadn't really thought past the wall and the kissing. I thought you hated me, Qingming continues, and now Boya can clearly see the laughter in his eyes, bright as polished stones. Boya wants to be annoyed, but he's just not. His instincts about Qingming were right, even if Boya himself was spectacularly wrong. He was being pulled in this direction. It just wasn't for the reason he thought. I thought I did, too. It's such a stupid thing to say. Pretty much anything he could say will come out stupid. He doesn't have Qingming's gift for elegant speech. He doesn't even know how to name the roiling, confusing intensity inside himself, let alone explain it to Qingming. All he can do is show him. Qingming's eyes, if possible, go even brighter as Boya leans back in, meets him halfway in a hot rush of breath. Boya isn't sure how long they stand there, pressing in as close as they can get with little shuffling steps. When Qingming breaks away, his hat is slightly askew. He smiles, blinding, and his other hand drops down to find Boya's. Boya, Darren, would you care to accompany me to my bedroom? He asks breathlessly. His thumb is gently stroking up and down behind Boya's ear, incredibly distracting. Oh. Boya swallows, his throat suddenly dry. His gentlemanly reputation is no tale. He has never visited anybody's bedroom. His heart pounding so hard he can feel himself swaying in Qingming's grip, he nods mutely. Qingming leads him down a different hallway. It is a long time before either of them can be found to receive the message that the princess has awoken from her earlier ordeal. Something is wrong from the moment they enter the princess's chamber. The empress is present. That, in itself, is so bizarre that Boya hardly knows how to process it. Boya has never, in his lifetime, known the empress to emerge from her wing of the palace, for any reason short of an official proclamation. He has never seen her with her back turned. But it's more even than that. The atmosphere is wrong. He doesn't know how he never noticed it before. The atmosphere in the princess's rooms has always been wrong. Has he always dismissed it because she is royalty? Because they grew up together? The energy here is cloying, heavy, a feeling that can almost be attributed to expensive incense, but not completely. And there's a metallic tinge in the air, not quite a taste, and not quite a sound, that Boya's sinking heart knows very, very well as the signature of magic. Or demons.
They are barely there for a full minute before the princess dismisses them, even though it was she who summoned them. Something is terribly wrong. By unspoken agreement, Boya and Qingming go to their separate rooms and prepare. Boya takes out his bow, feeling the need to create distance between himself and whatever this is, whatever is coming. The distant, dreamy rumble of the barrier around the palace breaching is almost a relief. Boya takes off at a run, ready to meet an enemy head-on and vanquish it and put the world to rights again. To his horror, his pursuit leads him in an arc right back to the princess's chambers. It is like a bad dream. A Longfashi killed by a demon and a traitor. Or else He Shouye is lying and a traitor and an accomplice to murder besides. Or else Qingming. And still, underneath the whole mess, the thick, almost scent of something wrong in the princess's rooms. Qingming could have lied to him. Boya's heart does something extremely unpleasant when he considers this, but he has a duty to think it through. Qingming suggested mere hours ago that something might not be right with the princess. Perhaps he purposefully inflamed Boya's suspicious nature for his own aims. He could have brought the demon inside the barrier with his portals. There's no reason Boya can think why he would do such a thing, except Qingming is half a demon himself, his mind whispers. Ashamed, angry at himself and at an enemy he cannot see, Boya lies down with his sword and glares at the ceiling, as though his gaze could cut through this unholy tangle of complications and subterfuges. In the morning, he will make Qingming explain. He will not be lied to. Waiting until the morning might have cooled Boya down, but unfortunately, Qingming breaks into his room within the hour, slipping the lock with magic and a sense of entitlement that makes the fires of Boya's anger leap high. He greets Qingming with the point of his sword. For a long moment, they merely look at each other. He has surprised Qingming, he can see, and in their frozen tableau, starts to wonder if perhaps he should have opened with a question instead.
You can't seriously believe I had something to do with this,
Qingming says, his voice low and his face pained, and Boya's determination crumbles. A sense memory overwhelms him of the last time they were in a darkened room together, of the last time Qingming spoke to him in a hushed voice. Boya reluctantly puts down his sword. Qingming doesn't help things by having a truly insane theory about what is happening here. The demon is not to blame. There is a human controlling it. That human is the princess. The princess murdered not one, but two masters, and her ultimate goal is releasing the serpent from its prison in the empress's body. Boya is still angry, and everything that's happening feels beyond the reach of his understanding, and he's tired of the way Qingming can make absolutely anything sound reasonable, even this farcical parade of unlikely ideas. And then he learns that Qingming lied to him after all. He Shouye is a spirit servant, the spirit servant of Qingming's Shifu. Qingming has known all along and kept it to himself. Qingming is trying to undermine the princess after all. Helpless tears of rage spring to Boya's eyes, and he raises his sword once more. What else has Qingming lied about? What was the point of their rendezvous earlier this evening? Was it real? Was Boya a fool to trust anything Qingming said? Qingming is upset, but unafraid. He doesn't move. Boya, he says, and, proving once again he has the thickest face of anyone Boya has ever met. Between me and the princess, who do you trust? I've known you for only a few days, Boya says, which is true, but it feels wrong as he says it, impossible. Has he really only had a few days with Qingming?
The princess and I grew up together. This, too, feels wrong. Boya doesn't know why. He breathes, shakily. He will not cry. You believe that? Qingming presses, relentless. You told me the princess lived outside the palace until she was 18. Boya can't think about this. The almost taste of metal fills his throat. True, they were infants together, but he remembers the princess at 18. She still looks like she did then, as youthful and round-faced as when Boya was a member of her Jingyun guard. Qingming reminds him about the demon that feeds on desires, how hers were enough to revive an ancient guardian all on their own. Boya's head is ringing. Qingming asks for his help, discovering the truth, and part of Boya yearns to say yes, but he can't. He can't. Qingming lied to him. Qingming isn't trustworthy, and whether that's because of his heritage or just because he is too goddamn clever for his own good, it is a plain fact that he kept things from Boya and will probably do so again. From here on out, we work alone, Boya hears himself say. It's better this way. He doesn't sleep. When it's light enough to see, he emerges from his room and unwillingly looks right at Qingming's doors, as he has so many mornings in a row. Qingming is awake and waiting for him. He doesn't try to sway Boya with petty arguments. He doesn't seem angry or even resentful. Instead, he gives Boya a gift, a talisman with which to test He Shuoyo's loyalties. He gives this even though he doesn't agree with Boya's conclusions about He Shuoyo. Boya holds the sturdy paper in his hand and tries his hardest to let Qingming walk away. It is 1 second, maybe two, before he breaks. Qingming, he says, unable to stop himself. He removes a magic ear from his belt and throws it to him. The moment Qingming catches it, his face softens from its strained lines. Come now, he says, and an echo of his teasing tone returns. How is a magic ear going to help me with the princess? Intolerable man. You talk too much, Boya mutters. Qingming's answering smile is small but real and shouldn't ease the tightness in Boya's chest. If you're ever in danger, give me a shout. Qingming tosses him a magic eye. If you're ever in danger, I'll give you a shout, Boya finishes brusquely, fighting a feeling of spreading warmth. So you can watch and laugh. Qingming's smile trembles off his face. Boya, one of us is going to be up against a deadly foe. You'll be careful, won't you? Boya doesn't understand how Qingming can be so concerned for his safety after Boya has spurned him, made it so clear that he distrusts him. In his position, Boya wouldn't waste his time or energy on someone like that. Boya believes what people show him. He doesn't know exactly what is going on or who is trying to awaken the serpent. But he wants Qingming to be wrong about the princess, whom Boya has known half his life. And he wants to be wrong about Qingming. It can't be the princess. The source of this whole mess must be He Shuoyo. Boya's primary thought, when the princess arrives and orders He Shuoyo to knock him out instead of using the sword he's pressed to Boya's throat, is that at least he and Qingming were both right. He wakes up in Qingming's arms with a painful gasp. Qingming is cradling his neck again, pressing his other hand all over Boya's body in a seemingly random pattern. Before a few labored breaths bring Boya back to himself, it feels nice to be held.
Boya, are you hurt?
Qingming asks, when Boya's eyes finally focus on him. the princess, Boya says.
I know,
Qingming says, with no hint of smugness, just concern.
Where?
I'll take you there, Qingming says, and he offers Boya his hand to help him stand. Boya takes it. The princess is the empress, and the empress is the serpent's immortal prison. The girl Boya knew has always been a lie. He Shouyue has been lying too, for almost the length of a human lifetime, and his perverted ambitions will spell death for thousands, if not millions, of innocent people. The only person who is who they say they are, the only person who has always acted in the interest of justice, is Qingming. It's too bad that Boya finally figured that out right as he's about to die.
Boya.
His name bounces off the stone walls of the tomb the portal flung him into, and it takes him a moment to realize that it's coming from the magic ear, not from his own pathetic wish to hear Qingming say it one last time. It really will be the last time. He has nothing to give Qingming. No identifying clues to his location. He's just in a box. A tiny stone box that is rapidly becoming a tiny stone box filled with sand. This is where he will die.
I want to see it,
Qingming says, and Boya is filled with irrational anger.
I knew you'd think this is funny,
he snaps. The most intolerable man. It must take hard work being this shameless.
The magic eye,
Qingming says, in frustration that carries even over the magic ear. Oh, right. Boya flings it onto the ceiling and takes a deep breath as sand crawls up his shoulders and neck. He will not be able to see by the time the talisman charges, so all he can do is continue to channel energy and hope that it's enough, that Qingming will be able to find him and open a portal before Boya runs out of air. It takes all his Jingyun discipline to keep channeling when his head goes under. The world turns muffled and dark, and a small animal part of his mind wakes up and starts shrieking in panic. But there's nothing Boya can do about it. He keeps his hand outstretched and channels and waits. And then, a warm, strong hand grasps his. Boya's relief is so intense that he almost breathes, but he catches himself in time and squeezes instead. And Qingming pulls and pulls and pulls. Boya doesn't move for so long that he begins to wonder if Qingming was too late after all. When, with just the slightest infinitesimal give as a warning, Boya is suddenly coursing in a river of sand, carrying him up to Qingming. They tumble in a strange direction that somehow sends Boya landing squarely on top of Qingming. He barely notices Qingming turning him over and repeating his name in his desperate, obliterating rush to breathe. But when he has air in his lungs again, he becomes aware of two things. That down seems to be in a different place than where he left it, and that Qingming is nakedly terrified.
I'm fine,
Boya says, and coughs, and tries again, but this time in a stronger voice.
Qingming, I'm fine, really.
Some of the fear leaves Qingming's face.
Boya,
he says, and Boya is never going to do anything ever again to make him stop saying Boya's name that way.
I thought I'd lost you.
And then, Qingming's sword takes to the sky, because while Qingming was distracted with Boya, the princess and He Shouyue have awakened the great serpent. The guardians all activate, but one. The vermilion bird was He Shouyue's responsibility. In the chaos of the day's revelations, neither of them considered that particular repercussion, and now it's too late. The city's shield is open. With the great serpent looming in the distance, ever greater the longer it's free to feed on human desires,
and with Qing Ming's spirit servants crashing back to them again and again as the waves of their attacks are broken,
Boya becomes calm. He knows what he needs to do. He's always felt better when things are simple. The serpent breaks through another layer of protective spell like it's a paper screen.
Qing Ming,
Boya says quietly. And he tells him what they both know, that this isn't going to last. But there is one way, Boya says. I'll revive Vermilion Bird with my own energy.
Qing Ming's face is already twisted like Boya has offered to die. And maybe he has. But they are out of options. This is what has to happen.
I can't protect you if you lose consciousness.
Qing Ming cries, tearing his eyes from the battle to stare at Boya.
I trust you,
Boya says. It's as easy to say as breathing. His heart is so light in his chest, he feels like he could float away. He doesn't just trust Qing Ming. He trusts him completely. With his life. With his heart.
Let me be your spirit servant.
Qing Ming is near tears. Boya smiles at him. He's not good with words like Qing Ming is. He doesn't know how to explain what it feels like to finally understand himself after days, years, of frustration and confusion. He doesn't know how to tell Qing Ming that he wants to laugh at himself for fighting tooth and nail against the greatest gift he has ever been given. He doesn't know how to say sorry and thank you at the same time. He can't say any of it. Not in a way that will really tell Qing Ming what he means. So, Boya shows him. He takes to the rooftops. It's the straightest line. The great bird is still mostly asleep when he arrives, a sluggish presence inside the ancient statue. There's hardly any energy in here at all.
Damn that He Shouye.
Boya puts his hand on the cold, rough stone, opens a vein, and clears his mind, pushing to one side the fact that it's going to take much more from him than he thought to make this work. It takes a long time. Boya breathes evenly as his blood trickles down onto the stone. He can't go any faster than this, short of genuinely killing himself. And his plan involves not just being alive, but awake. In the distance, he hears the triumphant roaring of a demon who has made a kill. He's running out of time. Finally, Boya's hand starts to go numb, then his whole arm. His vision goes fuzzy at the edges. There is a stirring underneath him, an untucking of ancient wings.
Great Spirit, he tries, directing the query to the vast space beneath him, so much larger than the confines of the statue.
A sleepy, impossibly deep voice responds.
It worked.
It worked. Boya would feel elated, but his whole body is numb now and feels unreal, entirely unrelated to him. As it falls away completely, he briefly thinks he sees Qing Ming running across the courtyard.
Great Guardian, Boya says into the vast spirit cavern. This humble one begs permission to make your acquaintance. He can't see himself or feel his limbs, but he is there nonetheless.
Oh, a live one,
Vermilion Bird asks, bemused.
It's been generations since they gave me one of those.
There's a deep flurry of sound, like gigantic feathers settling.
Why are you? Are you special?
This humble one would not dare, Boya says, valiantly moving past the fact that Vermilion Bird apparently used to be fed living sacrifices.
Like Vermilion Bird, this humble one guards the city against its enemies. This one is just intruding today to ask a favor. Ah, the barrier.
Vermilion Bird says, sounding a little put out.
It is no intrusion, young one, but the purpose for which I was bound. Wait one moment.
There is a great movement, like wind, wings spreading out into space, and then a fiery rush of power on a scale Boya has no words for. Boya can't gasp, because his mouth and throat aren't here with him, but the feeling of a gasp resonates through him.
It's up, says Vermilion Bird, after an infinity and also a single moment. I might go back to sleep if that's all.
This humble one is all gratitude, Boya says, and then a little desperately. But that's not the favor I meant. A vast attention slowly focuses itself on Boya. If he had skin, it would prickle.
Oh?
The great serpent is loose in the city, Boya tells it. The imperial palace has been betrayed. Our defense is a lone priest, aided by his spirit servants. They need help.
This is it.
If Vermilion Bird turns him down, Ting Ming will be completely alone up there. And Boya... well, Boya didn't really think past this conversation.
I ask Vermilion Bird to aid the priest in his fight against the great serpent.
Please. He adds. There is a feeling like a very large, very slow blink.
You want to summon me as a spirit servant?
Yes, Celestial One, Boya says. If he had breath, he would hold it. Another blink.
Why do we need your priest?
Vermilion Bird asks, in a different tone.
I need no direction from another to destroy the great serpent. It would be my great honor to fulfill that ancient duty.
We need him, Boya says, too fast. I need him. Great Spirit, without his magic, I will not survive the process. He has no idea if that's true. He might not survive it anyway. He might already be dead. But he knows what happens if a great spirit is set loose without rules. It's happening above them right now.
I suppose,
Vermilion Bird says, sounding worryingly uninterested in the topic of Boya's survival.
And is the danger to the city very great?
Very great, Celestial One. Boya says fervently. Every moment is many more lives lost. Vermilion Bird shakes out its unknowable ancient feathers and flaps its wings once.
All right, young one, it says. Let us go present ourselves to this priest of yours.
Boya is not Boya, or he is not just Boya. Not anymore. Vermilion Bird sees the courtyard, the still settling rubble, Ching Ming lowering his sleeve from his face, and wonders,
is that him?
Boya sees Ching Ming holding his body, sees his expression, drawn and a little wild-eyed, and feels a burst of intense sorrow and love and determination all wrapped in one.
Ah.
Vermilion Bird self thinks, and does not wonder anymore. They kneel on the pedestal amid the debris of Vermilion Bird self's old prison, and receive their invocation from Ching Ming's lips to his fingers to their forehead, where it sinks into their skin with the warmth of sunlight. Ching Ming's intentions map perfectly onto theirs, which makes the magic sing, its mandate delivered in whole. Protect the city, destroy the serpent. Wings burst from their back. Boya self can't tear his eyes away from the look of devastated awe on Ching Ming's face. Vermilion Bird self so rarely sees anyone anymore. It had forgotten how amazingly young some people were.
"We will protect him, young one,"
it thinks, a little wryly.
"We will protect them all."
It turns its thoughts to the enemy waiting for them, and their whole being goes sharp and hungry.
"Let me show you how."
It is a fight they can be proud of, but one for which they've arrived a little late. Vermilion Bird Self wishes it could have gotten its talons into the serpent before it stole all this power, or at least found some more power for itself. Then it could have shown the old fossil what a real fight looks like. They are victorious anyway. In the end, it is down to the weakness of the vessel the serpent chose. The vessel falters and fails. The great snarling head starts to come down, its shadow rising to where Qingming stands, with the body of the princess.
"Great Spirit,"
Boya Self cries, but there is no need. Both selves are in perfect accord. Qingming is their priest, who they swore to protect. The wind roars as they fly to him, as fast and true as an arrow. There is only time to throw their body in between Qingming and the furious, dying serpent. And Boya Self knows the picture it makes, knows that behind them, Qingming is seeing his Shifu.
"Sorry,"
he thinks blindly, as poisonous spikes rip through them, shredding feathers, withering flames into cinders.
"Sorry."
It is pain like Boya has never known.
"Goodbye, young one,"
Vermilion Bird says, curiously far away from him.
"Perhaps I'll see you a few lifetimes hence."
And then there is nothing. Boya wakes up, which is confusing. For a moment, he does nothing, expecting to still be suspended, formless, in that spirit space. But then he becomes aware that he is cold and sore. First he breathes in, and then he blinks, and then he experimentally tries moving his fingers. It all works. He is connected to his own limbs again. He tries unsuccessfully to sit up, a barely managed squirm, at which point he realizes that he is once again in Qingming's arms.
"Qingming." "Boya, don't get up, Boya,"
Qingming says, smiling, and then he is also crying, and Boya manages to raise an arm to pat Qingming's back as he buries his face in Boya's shoulder.
"Shameless,"
Boya whispers. His voice is weak but steady.
"I was only gone for a few minutes."
Qingming leaves to compose himself, which gives Boya some time to reacquaint himself with his human body. He feels smaller somehow, closed off from that endless network of spirit power. But his flesh is also reassuringly warm, and his heart is beating. Boya wouldn't trade it back. When Boya has managed to stand on his own, he will be eating meat tonight, having lost this much blood, he goes to find Qingming. Maybe it's some lingering magic that makes his steps so sure, though Qingming didn't tell him where he was going. Maybe he just knows Qingming. Either way, Boya walks around the corner and up what seems to him an unfair number of stairs, and finds Qingming standing on the rooftop where they first met. Qingming turns around, and there are so many things that Boya wants to say to him that for a moment he can say nothing at all. He wants to kneel again and pledge himself to Qingming for all time. He wants to stride across the roof and kiss him.
"Thank you," Boya says at last. "I'm the one who should be thanking you,"
Qingming says unexpectedly, and he tells Boya of the protective power he unlocked in the last moments of their battle, right when Boya needed him most. Boya's heart is incandescent in his chest, bursting with light like he is a spirit again, like all the magic in the world is contained within him. "Qingming, Daren," he says. "Would you care to join me for a drink?" Qingming offers to portal them to his waterside home, but Boya refuses him. They can't take a carriage either because there is too much damage to the roads, and many people have fled in the chaos. So they walk to Jingyun Temple, all the way up every single mountain stair, while Qingming tries to hide his increasingly concerned, sideways glances at Boya's faltering steps. Qingming handles their shadis when they arrive at the top, begging their forgiveness and asking directions to Boya's residence, while Boya catches his breath. The others want to detain him, he can tell, and they do deserve answers about what the hell happened today. But Boya must look as exhausted as he feels, because they let Qingming take him away with minimal protests. "Now," Qingming says, when he has helped Boya sit on the edge of his bed. "Why exactly did you do that to yourself?" "You have to see a place before you can portal to it," Boya says. He glances around his sparse bedroom, decorated only with his prized weapons and a few wall hangings from a couple of the more artistic Jingyun disciples. Nothing like the cozy, well-appointed rooms Qingming keeps. "Isn't that right?" When he looks back, Qingming is staring at him in such bald surprise that Boya startles a little. "That is right, isn't it?" "Boya," Qingming breathes. And oh, Boya could spend the rest of his life listening to his name said that way by this man. Qingming takes Boya's hand and brings it to his lips. "We could have sent a magic eye to the temple, Boya," he says, and the laughter running through his voice is warm and fond. "You didn't have to bring me here." "Oh, Boya didn't think of that. All those damn stairs." "Well, it's too late now," he says, only a little petulantly, distracted by the tingles running up his arm from where Qingming is stroking his thumb across Boya's knuckles. "You're here." "I'm here," Qingming agrees, eyes bright, and he leans in to kiss Boya. They get a few precious days all to themselves, while Boya recovers and Qingming does the long, complicated work, which he seems to enjoy, and which Boya has always hated, of writing detailed reports of the events that transpired, their causes, and all the evidence the two of them have gathered to support their conclusions. They drink, and they rest. They draw a lot of baths. "A few decades from now, the serpent will probably be reborn again," Boya says, on one of these excursions to the water. They go every day to increase Boya's stamina, Qingming insists. Though, if you ask Boya, there's honestly nothing wrong with him. He feels almost as strong now as he did before the battle. But Boya has never had anyone fuss over him before. It's nice to be taken care of. He lets Qingming take him down to the water. "At least we've kept the world safe for now," Qingming says, unusually somber. "And when it does return, we'll fight it together." Of course they'll fight it together. Boya has found his guiding star, and he has long since stopped fighting its pull. Qingming will never be alone again, will never feel the way he did before he met his Shufu, or after his Shufu died. "You used to make fun of me for being too serious," Boya teases. "This mood is too dark. They don't have enough of this golden, uninterrupted time left to spend it ruminating like this." "You're the dramatic one now. You gave me a hard time for drinking with spirit servants, yet you volunteered to be my spirit servant yourself," Qingming returns, quick as a cat. Boya squints out at the water. Touché. That was Vermilion Bird, not me. He sneaks a glance sideways to see how this bit of equivocation is received, and is pleased to see that the smile has returned to Qingming's face. His hands find Qingming's, and they hold on tight. The real world eventually intrudes, as it was always going to. Qingming is called back, and Boya can no longer in good conscience continue to recover when he is perfectly capable of executing his duties. They need to return to their lives. It is hard, much harder than Boya thought it would be, to watch Qingming's boat drift away into the night, even though, of course, he will be visiting frequently, and they have exchanged such a large number of magical talismans that they will never really be out of touch. Boya just doesn't want him to go. He's promised to send Qingming off with music, so he raises his flute to his lips and plays a song about forgiveness, about an infinite kindness it will take more than one lifetime to repay. Qingming looks back at him, and in the darkness he can just make out that little smile he loves so dearly. Boya has been so wrong about the world for such a long time. As the boat gets smaller and smaller on the water, Boya knocks an arrow and whispers to it, soft and private as a kiss, of incandescence and guiding stars, of loyalty across lifetimes. He draws back and lets it fly, and he knows Qingming sees it flare high above their heads, where it will stay, watching over Qingming for as long as Boya's soul walks the earth. He stares longingly at the flowers and the warm lights of Qingming's home before the portal swallows them back, and then the flowers and the lights and the arrow star and Qingming are all gone. Boya. Boya starts. He was just trying to resist the urge to immediately take out a magic ear and contact Qingming. It's like it could tell. Qingming? I just wanted to hear your voice, Qingming says, sounding sheepish. And Boya loves him, loves him, loves him, his intolerable priest. And he will spend all the rest of his lifetimes trying to deserve him. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening. And happy ITPE Revolutionary Joe. I'm very excited that you were interested in receiving a Podfic for this fandom. Yay! I hope you've enjoyed this.